Anyway, speaking of hair and standing in queues and being the early bird to catch the worm, Connor Pope is on the line now. He is surrounded currently by pubs and pints. Come in, Connor.
Yeah, hi, I'm there. Hi, Catherine, can you hear me?
I can. So, am I right? You were at the hairdressers at 1 minute past midnight and you're now currently on a pub crawl.
That's exactly how my life has just unfolded today. I know. I mean, like, is there anybody less needing of a hairdresser's than me? Probably not. But I was at a lovely salon called Salon Rouge in Inchicore.
Yep.
Last night at 1 minute past midnight, because they decided they'd open at midnight when they were legally permitted to. And I was talking to the owner there. Her name is Tish Curry. And I was saying, is there anybody who would want to book an appointment to get their hair coloured or cut at 2 o'clock in the morning or midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning? And there was a queue out the door, practically. A socially distanced one, I might add.
You're
because
joking.
People are just so keen to get their hair done. Mm. And people were just so keen to do it. And in fairness to her, she was doing it because she wanted to make it a more celebratory thing than, you know, this kind of fearful return to work that an awful lot of people are anticipating.
Mm.
Because we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and she just wanted to maybe take away a little bit of the COVID-19 element and make it a bit more about some crack and about something fun that was happening, a bit of a buzz. And then she was also donating money to charity, as you know, with each booking. So it was all around a nice thing, and you know, it was interesting to see how the whole operation was working.
I mean, did you ever think in all your years reporting and covering stuff that you'd be doing something like that, like standing in a hairdresser's at 1 minute past midnight? I mean, it is bizarre.
No, but I tell you what, I was delighted to do it, because in the early part of this crisis, as you know, I mean, we were doing an awful lot of reporting on shops closing, on businesses closing, on towns and cities and the entire country closing. And it's lovely to be writing about writing stories about places reopening.
That's
and
for
things
sure.
Coming back to normal, because I think that's something that we can all celebrate in whilst retaining that degree of caution and that little bit of fear that everybody is going to be living with for a very long time to come.
And did it feel normal? I mean, what in terms of new procedures, chairs, social distancing, were they able to manage that, and how did they manage it?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, and I've spoken to a few hairdressers about this over the last 10 days or so, and they all have this kind of roadmap for the clients when they come in. So you come in this particular place, you get your temperature checked. They have one of those thermal scanners. You know, you sanitize your hands, you put on your face mask, you're brought to your station by your stylist.
Yep.
So that's the only interaction you're going to have. You put all your bits and pieces, your bag, your coat, whatever it might be, into a bag that they give you, so it doesn't go into a cloakroom. It doesn't get hung up, and then that's put away in a safe place. You get your hair cut, coloured, or whatever it might be, and then you pay your stylist, and then you leave. So you only are going to have interaction with one person, and you know they've managed the social distancing thing well. And an awful lot of hairdressers and salons that I've spoken to, that's the same thing. That's the same route that they're following, because they're not ICU units, they're not hospital wards, and they can't be expected to do that.
Mm.
But what was interesting talking to the woman who owned this particular salon was, like, she wants to make it simple. She doesn't want to make it complicated, because if you make these things too complicated, well, then the staff are going to struggle to follow the rules, customers are going to struggle to follow the rules, and it just becomes more problematic. So it's basic enough stuff: proper hand hygiene, proper respiratory etiquette, proper social distancing, and I think we'll all be good to go.
Yeah, and tip for the ladies out there, if you're getting the roots done and you're in the chair for 3 hours, they're not giving out magazines. Bring your own magazines, bring your own books, bring
Absolutely.
Your own snacks.
And stick with your phone, because let's face it, I mean, the days when you had to thumb through ancient copies of Hello Magazine are long since gone, you know?
Come here, you are on a pub crawl with a new hairstyle. And where are you? What's the atmosphere like, and how many pubs have you been in?
Well, actually, I'm in Temple Bar.
Of course you are.
I thought I'd go down to Temple Bar, because sure, isn't that the heart of pub culture in Ireland?
Yes.
And I have to say, anybody who is expecting a return to normality in Temple Bar will be wildly disappointed now, because it's not like it was 3 months ago. It's not like it was this time last year. Most of the pubs are still closed. Some of the restaurants are opening, but there's still a very, very small number of people wandering the streets. And you know, there's people there's tattoo parlors and hairdressers and barbers have opened, the shops are open, but it's nothing, absolutely nothing like the Temple Bar that you might remember from pre-COVID times.
But have you been in, and like, are people in having a pint and the €9 meal? And
no, yeah, they are. Now, I mostly it's the restaurants that are doing that are doing a busy enough trade. Mm. So I was in the likes of Elephant and Castle. Some of your listeners may be familiar with that. I was in the Thunder Road Cafe, the Temple Bar Hotel. And, you know, the Temple Bar Hotel has a bar and it has the restaurant. So, I mean, like, it's not like it's mad busy. It's not like, okay. I think in the same way that when the shops opened, people just dealt with it and there was a bit of common sense there. There's a bit of a queue outside some shops, obviously, but like it wasn't this mad frenzy. And it's the same, like people aren't that desperate for a pint at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning that they'll be going in to buy a lunch that they don't really want to eat
what you've seen there this morning, would you say, I mean, you're talking Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday, coming into the weekend, are we ready and prepared and, you know, are the pubs expecting to be busy?
I think they are. And I think the real test is not going to be on a Monday morning, as you just so rightly pointed out. Mm. It's going to be Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. And I think a lot of the pubs around the country will probably hold off on opening in the early part of the week, even though they're now legally allowed to again. Mm. And they'll wait until they know that there's going to be custom there. But I think Irish people, funnily enough, over the last 3 or 4 months have shown themselves to be incredibly good at adapting to new circumstances. Mm. And you only have to look across the water at what was happening on the beaches of Bournemouth last week, when you saw there was practically riots on the sand as people were so desperate to get out and go for a swim and whatever it might be. I don't think you've seen that kind of thing happening in Ireland. Mm. And I can't imagine you'll have a scenario. Now, it could be proved entirely wrong, but just given what's happened over the last 3 or 4 months and given how much we've all changed and given the amount of effort and hard work that everybody has put in to getting us to this place, I can't see a complete free-for-all come the weekend with people just getting hammered and doing all the things they might have done pre-COVID. I could be proved wrong, and I hope I'm not, but I just think that I think there's been a real shift in how Irish people have approached society and has approached their own lives in the last 3 or 4 months. And I don't think it's going to change overnight just because the pubs are opening and just because you can book a seat and go in and have a drink.
And I think, you know, it is that collective sense of togetherness, of support, of everybody trying to do the right thing. We've all become, like, I can't stand a queue. We've all become better at queuing. And actually, your piece in Price Watch today in the Irish Times, you're talking exactly about that, about how life has changed since lockdown.
Absolutely. And it's phenomenal when you think about it and how fast these changes have happened. And you mentioned queuing. Like, I think Irish people up until about 3 months ago were probably the worst queuers in the world.
I still am. I have to say I still am.
I remember once I was due to fly to Las Vegas about a long time ago, and I was diverted to Vancouver, which is not the same place at all, by the way. It's a completely different scenario, Vancouver versus Vegas. And we went and our flight was diverted to Vancouver for a night. And I remember going into a bar in Canada and people were actually queuing in an orderly fashion at the bar to buy drinks. And I was like, ah, lads, this isn't right. But now in Ireland, we have become like people from Vancouver and we are much more willing to queue. And I think that's probably going to stay with us because nobody wants to pass on the virus. Nobody wants to get the virus. So we're used to queuing. So that's one of the ways we've changed. Of course, the big, big way that people have changed in the last little while in Ireland has been working from home. It's been a phenomenal experiment because if you'd said a year ago that half of the working nation could suddenly work from home and get the job done, people would have said, it could never happen. Like, even in my line of business in newspapers, very few journalists, if any journalists in any of the big newspapers, in any of the newspapers in Ireland, have been working from offices over the last 3 or 4 months. And the newspapers have still come out and the news has still been reported. And it's the same in RTE and it's the same in businesses across the country. So that working from home experiment, I think, has kind of changed how we approach our world. And, you know, people are looking at commute times and rush hours and going, do I need that?
Yeah, and there's a shift in the employer's way of thinking as well in terms of what is possible and what would have been unimaginable, as you said last year, is working.
Absolutely.
The work returns are there and the productivity is there, you know, and I mean, obviously it'll be a couple of months yet for some companies to actually gauge that, but it's been pretty phenomenal.
It has, absolutely.
I'm going to let you back to your pints now in a minute, but I wanted quickly, because we had a listener query in about the Unpussed foreign exchange card. And I'm going to read it out and you can give us your feedback on it. The listener says, I need help. My daughter Niamh, who is 21 and was due to travel to San Diego on her J1, put 4,000 euro on an Unpussed currency card and now it's suspended. Oh my God, will she get the money back? So, okay, first of all, what I've not heard of this. What is an Unpussed foreign exchange card and why do we have them? Like, why would Niamh, who's going to the States, want one?
Well, Unpussed sell this card and around 50,000 Irish customers have them. And basically, they're like prepaid credit cards. So you load this credit card with money in advance. You don't actually have credit. And then you can use that over a period of time. They function exactly the same way as a credit or debit card. But you've prepaid. You've put the money on it in advance. But the currency card allows you to make transactions in 16 different countries, 16 different currencies, and you don't incur the normal currency charge transaction fees that you might if you were kind of
great idea.
But paying in euro, it's a fantastic idea. And as I say, 50,000 people in Ireland have them. The people who would have them would be typically people traveling overseas who might want to go, you know, who might want to have these prepaid credit cards in the currency of in the country where they're going. An awful lot of J1 students would have them because when I was a kid and I was on my J1, my parents would have given me traveler's checks. And that's how I would have, that's the money I would have gone over to America to get myself set up with. That's how the money was transported. But nowadays they would just preload one of these credit cards, these MasterCards, and that would be how it would operate. Now, the German company that issued this card to MasterCard, it's kind of complicated, Catherine, has got into difficulty with the British financial regulators. They were told to cease trading last Thursday.
Right.
That meant the cards were all frozen. But Unpussed have a contract with MasterCard for this business. And I was speaking to Unpussed yesterday and they went to great lengths to say that they will do whatever it takes to ensure that their customers' money is protected. So in the short term, your account might be frozen, and in the short term, you might struggle to make contact with Unpussed, and you might struggle to access the funds. But they have said they will not, they won't let any Irish customers lose money as a result of this. And it's possible that the card issuer in Germany might be given the green light to start trading again in a day or two or whatever. But Unpussed have said Irish customers will not lose out, and that's the 100% commitment that they've given to us.
It is good news, but it's still kind.
What?
For 50,000 cardholders.
Absolutely. Now, some of those cardholders would only have peanuts on them, you know, like, because people might have used them 2 years ago and they still have the card, but they mightn't have put any currency on them. But the important thing to remember is the relationship that Unpussed have is with MasterCard, and MasterCard and Unpussed will work to sort it out. And I've been assured that Irish customers won't lose out.
Okay, that's great to hear. Conor Pope, as always, thanks very much.
Okay, mind yourself. Take care.
You too.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.